Welcome to episode 39 of the Pipe and Slippers Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Roger Kirby, and with me this Saturday windy, wet evening is Mr. Stephen Rudkin.
Good evening, Roger. It certainly is windy down south here in the UK. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. I got drenched this morning on the golf course, so the office has now turned into a wet room for everything golf-related, but yes.
I think we've heard that story at least three times this season.
I like to keep everyone... Everyone's keen to know about my golf game. You know, I'm sure they
how wet it is up there in Macclesfield.
Yeah, it's the north, I'm afraid. It's industrial, you know, revolution has brought us down to a grinding halt.
Winter is coming.
Mm.
So yeah, we've got week 13's just gone. We're into week 14.
Business end of fantasy and business end of the season.
It is indeed, which we will get on to later, that some of our playoffs have kicked off this week.
Woo-hoo!
Yes, so exciting times. I think we wanted to have a chat about Thursday night football first, or...
Yeah, let's do that. I think then we'll throw it to yourself after that.
We'll go
that.
To the fantasy later. Yeah.
Yes. So, do you want to kick off and have a hot take, and then we can debate from there? I did kind of point your fingers, gun sort of things then.
Audio podcast.
Note to self.
I managed to only watch the condensed version of the game, and have read a few bits, heard a few bits. What has been one of the more exhilarating Thursday night fixtures. And I think my overall take from it was that a lot of the times in recent weeks, particularly even last Sunday, you see games being won or lost by mistakes rather than players or teams making plays. And it seems like these two teams went at it, and it was playmaking and good things happening that resulted in the victory, whether that be on defense or offense, but overall an entertaining game that wasn't a result of bad referee calls or some stupid bonehead decision. So a fun game overall, and two teams who obviously looking to get into the playoffs. The Cardinals are there, and the Vikings are still a feisty outfit.
Yeah, I mean, it's been talked about a moral victory for the Vikings, you know, as hollow as that is. They were solid, and I thought Bridgewater, you know, unfortunate as that last play of the game was, you know, it was excellent pressure from Freeney and the Cardinals in general. I mean, they were blitzing heavily all night, and I think he dealt okay, pretty well with the blitz. But I thought Palmer was you know, exceptional throughout the evening. I thought David Johnson as a running back, you know, he's great out of the backfield, you know, solid running between the tackles, got a bit of juice to bounce it to the outside. And that 1-2 punch with Kerwin Williams is looking good, but you just go through their pass catches. I mean, Fitzgerald was blocking, you know, he almost made one outrageous catch that he had no right to even make, but he was solid. Floyd, JJ Nelson, I mean, Brown, you just lose count of these guys. And, you know, that's, you know, I was talking about the blocking, the block Fitzgerald threw on the cornerback, I think it was on Terrence Newman, I might be wrong, when he pancaked him on the floor, it was fantastic. But, you know, I do have a few reservations about the way that obviously Cardinals seem to keep teams in a lot of games. They've won a lot of games, but, you know, they've kind of won a lot of close ones. I think in the playoffs, that's a concern. And also the fact that the only way they can really bring pressure and heat on the quarterback is to blitz. You know, don't get me wrong, Patrick Peterson was exceptional. Honey Badger was good. Bethel lost. Wallace. For the touchdown pass that Teddy Bridgewater threw, but it was on a crossing right route, so much traffic, really difficult to do. I mean, he was solid. Got Johnson in the back end as well. So don't get me wrong, their back end is solid, but you know, their back end is constantly getting asked questions because of the fact that they're bringing so much heat and pressure every almost down in down out.
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously in a great position currently in the NFC. Really, your only other two teams that you think that are going to be able to take them down are obviously the Panthers and then the Seahawks with the form they've been in. They both pose threats that, as you talk about, if you can't, the way they can't do anything other than blitz, and it seems it might just be that they're a little bit, they're great to watch and really fun, but do they have almost a, they got a little bit of almost strength and core missing to them that is almost playoff football style is not quite there with them. You wonder if they're just going to produce a great regular season. And as you say, they're keeping games close, which is what you don't really want to be doing come the playoffs. But
no, but they're still hot. And obviously there is a few other teams that are kind of you're looking at now and you're thinking, oh, you know, if the Seahawks can find a way. Oh, I'm not sorry, the Seahawks look like they're going to find a way in. And they're going to look, they seem to be growing week in, week out. The Steelers, if they can find a way in, no one's going to really want to face that offense in terms of AFC side of things. So both sides of the, you know, the NFC and the AFC are looking really interesting. But I think NFC wise, Cardinals, Panthers, Seahawks.
Yeah.
You know, I still think there's a lot of question marks about the Panthers. And I think, you know, the Seahawks look solid as well, because you kind of know what you're going to get from them come playoff time, especially if they can get Lynch back and they've got Rawls running as well as he has.
Yeah, they're coming into form just at the right time, despite the fact they've lost Jimmy Graham. Luke Wilson's doing a good job there, and they're looking better almost from it, that they've got other pass catchers involved, and Russell Wilson's playing out of his skin right now.
Yeah, and I think it's almost a beneficial. You know, it's counterintuitive, because everything suggests that, you know, when you add an elite pass catcher as Graham, that should take you over the edge. But every time they've seemed to done it, you know, they tried it with Harvin, and they've tried it with Graham, and they've almost forced someone in, you know, round peg and square hole sort of thing. Yet Wilson seems more comfortable when he's allowed to just, you know, pick and choose the matchups and not having to force it, you know, force it to a wide receiver one. I mean, you only have to look at how, and I think a little bit of Matt Ryan's struggles have been, you know, bearing in mind he hasn't got a lot, you know, a bevy of pass catchers, but, you know, he's forcing it to Julio every, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18 times, you know, and it becomes a bit sort of obvious and premeditated and predicted and almost one-dimensional. So I definitely think that, you know, and let's be honest, you know, Wilson, for the type of quarterback he is going to always be slightly better in a slightly more ball control offense, where he can make more plays off script. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think he has improved out of the pocket, but because of his size and his stature, he's always going to be, you know, one of those guys that's going to, you know, gravitate more towards a defensive style coach. And I've got a lot of time for Pete Carroll. You know, that's obvious.
It is very obvious. It's interesting as well when we're talking all about the playoff picture that two divisions aren't really getting mentioned at all this season, which is the AFC South, but more importantly, the NFC East is just, despite the fact the Eagles have taken down the Patriots last week, and the Monday night game was a good game for an NFC East game, they all just seem like, sadly, disappointing teams that we're not even talking about when it comes to the NFC contenders.
Yeah, I mean, Giants should, to all intents and purposes, be running away with that, based upon the fact of the way that they performed in sort of the first three quarters of games.
Yeah, they've handed a few back.
Yeah, but the Eagles, you know, from where everything seemed to be going with Kelly, they've really struggled, and there's massive question marks. I mean, even if they win that league and division and somehow manage to get into the playoffs, there's massive questions going into the off-season about the quarterback, the blue chip talent on that team. I'd like to see Kelly. I mean, I hope he does succeed, because I think it'd be a massive, massive hit for new thinking and people who are prepared to challenge the norm if he doesn't succeed. But if he doesn't succeed, he doesn't succeed. You know, you can't force that to work. But it's going to be an interesting off season if he does stay, because you know ultimately you're going to have to start bringing in some blue chip talent. You know, to mix with the scheme.
It's either that, or he's going to have to adapt a little bit more and not be so almost set in his, for what we say about being such an innovative coach. It's innovative for the NFL, but at the same time, it's now stagnating and it's quite simplified and teams have worked it out, it seems. So
he's either got to evolve. And what we've talked about with the defense, why is the defense all of a sudden struggling at this point of the season? Well, they probably played more snaps than any other defense in the entire league, because when the offense does go three and out, they go three and out in the blink of an eye.
Yeah. It's a real tough challenge for their strength and conditioning coaches there in Philly.
And what about the Redskins? I mean, where did the Redskins go? After what's been a relatively solid, you know, if the season finished now, it's a relatively solid season with Gruden. Considering all of the RG3 stuff at the start of the year, but you've got a quarterback that's, you know, you've got to assume that they're going to cut RG3 and you know, move on from him. But what do you do with Cousins? I mean, what's he worth? Because you know what you're getting with Cousins. Cousins is and what they with the talking about the new Dalton scale. For me, he could become the perfect Dalton. You know, in regards of not where Dalton is now, but where Dalton was, is that he's not going to lose you anything, but he's never going to win you anything. You were just in that, you know, you are in that quarterback purgatory.
Yeah, I can't say I've watched all that much of them closely in terms of Cousins' play. He's had some great games looking at the box scores. But as you say, very safe, and from all accounts what he's been asked to do has been quite limited a lot of the time.
It is, and I think one of the things that you can rattle him. I think if you send pressure and, you know, slightly more complex blitz packages, I don't think he's not great at picking that up. He's not bad at sort of hitting that back foot and getting the ball out, but when it comes to, you know, making checks at the line and stuff like that, from the bits that I've seen and obviously the bits that I've read and heard, that seems to be the issue. But you know what you're getting. Do you know, as Jay Gruden, when you know you're trying to build the offense and you know take it on another step further, you're not going to want to start again with a new quarterback. But so what's he worth? Is he worth kind of Kaepernick money?
Well, that's the thing at the moment. I mean, what deals
do you give him?
You can get away as a franchise of seemingly offering these very team-friendly deals, and it's becoming obvious teams aren't afraid to just cut players, and not a bad cap hit on it.
What do you do? Offer them a five-year deal with maybe $24 million guaranteed, and structure that in a way that's over the first two seasons, so you're paying $12 million.
Yeah.
It's essentially a two-year $24 million deal. And it's up to $60 million, up to $50 million or something.
You can't see him earning anything up towards 15 or above, that's for sure. When you see people like Josh McGowan got in the region of $10 million, was it? 8 to $10 million. That you really can't see, even though he is young Cousins, you can't put that much stock into him, I don't think.
I think it'll be in the range of sort of 50, 60 million, sort of 5 to 6 year deal, maybe 24 guaranteed over the first 2 years or something like that. I think they'll stick with him, but I think there'll be a get out clause if they've learnt the lessons.
Yes, it's seeming teams are quite happy to cut and move on. So I think it's going to be interesting to watch that picture, but does a lot of these decisions all come down to how things like that, these last 4 weeks, shape out? What if the Redskins lose out from here?
Yeah,
they could finish bottom of the division. And
there's so many questions as well within that division. I mean, you know, it seems to be the Des and Romo show, and there's talk that Manziel is not only auditioning for his role in Cleveland, he's auditioning for his role potentially with another team, and there's been constant links and rumours. We all know about what happened in the draft room when Manziel was actually drafted. You know, is he going to end up there? And then you look at the Giants, and you realistically look at that team, and there's only really, in terms of blue chip talent, Manning and Beckham, and you know, likes of the Will Tye, and you know, Ruben Randall of
they don't make the playoffs, and they fail over these next few weeks. Is that it for Coughlin? Will he be
gone? If you sack Coughlin, and do you sack the OC? I can't think of his name now. He came from Green Bay, didn't he?
Green Bay. Good question. You stumped me too.
Well, but he came over, and to be fair, that offense is done okay. And do you want Manning going to a third offensive system? You know, his age within 3 years.
No, because you even see things like Matt Ryan, a very able quarterback you mentioned earlier. He's trying to force it to just Julio, really, but he's taken on a new system this year, and by all, that looked like it was going to work, but realistically, it's not working out for him, and he's not adapting to that style. And for these older quarterbacks, as good as they are, it really does take a lot to change a style that you've been brought up on in the NFL.
So. Yeah, massively so. I mean, the guys on ATM were talking about when Ryan was playing the Bucs last year and looking at looking at the Bucs offense and looking at Dirk Cutter and saying, can I have this back, please? So so it was Ben McAdoo.
That's the one.
And it was Kevin Gilbride, obviously, before him.
So I think there's not really much more we want to touch base on in terms of the so-called real NFL news, I don't think.
No, it's good. I think what we should do at this juncture in the proceedings is throw over to the silky, sultry tones of yourself with the weekly recap.
Here are your classified results from week 13 of our Pipe and Slippers Fantasy Football Leagues. Starting in the Move the Sticks League, Playmakers took down the Bias Industries 106-88 thanks to a solid running back display by Hill and David Johnson, helping Tony's men to the win. The Fanatics were helped by that Aaron Rodgers last second Hail Mary win last week on Thursday Night Football to win 97-88 over Rudder's Niners. Cam Newton did it again for the D-Train, helping them win 116-83 over New York Bozo. The Broncos' annihilation of the Chargers aided the I've Made a Huge Mistake team with a huge defensive performance to a 114-94 win over Anthony's Eskimo Bros database. Dan Bailey kicked the Cowboy Crusaders to the win in one of the narrowest victories of the season over Carl and Scratch and Sniff, 80.68-80.64, a 0.04 win for the Crusaders. Danby was helped by a solid performance by his wide receiver combo of Sammy Watkins and Martavis Bryant to win another close matchup, 105-103 over Old Man Strength. Moving on to the Hall of Lame League, and the future Hall of Lamers lost again, this time to Unruly Mustache, 124-94, the Mustache led by the Jags' Allen Robinson with 33 points. Russell Wilson took the Stockholm Stiff Arms to what was their fourth win of the season, 111-78 over a Real American's American team, maybe putting a dent in the American's team playoffs chances. A touchdown for nearly all of the Magicians Alliance players helped them beat Tony's Intimidators 121-94. Gronk if you're horny won 88-63 over a lackluster G-Men in a matchup that took Gronk on the edge of the playoffs at 7-6. Forest Green Army upset the Macclesfield Mannings and beat their English rival 124-117 as the Mannings' hopes of the playoffs are out of the window. Bootzilla, top Division 3 with an 85 record after a 105-76 win over Zach Stacey's mom and getting back in the win column. Into the Pipe and Slippers Dynasty League and the final round of regular season matchups, Week 13 saw Compromised Underpants thrash the Negatrons. A great performance by Antonio Brown and Cam Newton took Anthony to a win 168-127 to top Division 2 with a 10-3 record. Bortles to Allen Robinson was the winning combination for Gronk if you're horny, as he won 153-119 over the Honey Badgers. The Badgers therefore taking the second seed in the playoffs, winning that division, but Gronk if you're horny had to win and get in. They did that, 8-5 and into the playoffs. Big Ben threw the Silent Assassin to a win, 95-70 over Lombardi Slap. The Lombardi make the playoffs with another 8-5 record, but Silent Assassin go out on a win to finish 6-7. It's like giving candy to a baby. Missed out on the playoffs despite a 7-6 record with a 98-80 last week of the season win over I'm Bringing Hasselbeck. 19 points for Brandon Marshall was the standout performance for them, but it wasn't enough. As the X Factors take a playoff berth despite just a 7-6 record to top Division 3, their 110-66 last day win over Sharkies 1, helped by more return yards from Tyler Lockett. And the newly named Closet Demons got a win for their first win under their new name to move to 3-10 as they beat One Cheddar's 109-99 as we move into the playoffs in the Pipe and Slippers this week. And that rounds up your results from Week 13.
Thank you very much for that. And as you were saying there, the end of the regular season in the Pipe and Slippers Fantasy Dynasty League.
Yes, indeed. We have some playoff action to... Well, we started this week Thursday already.
Are you going
to
get some jaunty music under that? I feel it's kind of hotting up. Things are... You going to beatbox for us or something?
I certainly ain't. I could try and find a loop courtesy of Apple and GarageBand. Some of our people who could sponsor us if they really would like to. I mean, or aim high if Apple want to sponsor our podcast. That'd be great. So, yeah, playoff action in the Pipe and Slippers League. But just before we get to that, we have the usual awards to go over from last week. So for you to choose from, Roger, we have some moves of the week in the Move the Sticks League. Tony, always wheeling and dealing, managed to snag David Johnson off the waivers. Johnson's been in and out of teams all year in that league, but he got picked up by Tony, got 18 points last week, so
nice.
Tony managed to snag him and play him, which is the key when you pick somebody off waivers. This seems like I almost find this is a bit of an odd move that's been made, but it's slim pickings really for moves of the week last week. But we've got Danby in the Move of Sticks League bringing Sammy Watkins into his lineup. Now, I'm not quite sure why he wasn't in his lineup, but he at least moved him in and he's got
been wanting to get
points.
Rid of him for the entire year.
So he's seen the light and played Watkins ahead of that good performance last week. I've got no moves in the Hall of Blame. Disappointing week there for everybody, in a way. Pipe and Slippers League. Anthony, he's obviously run away with the regular season, but he's not content with that. So it feels like this is a trade for the win now mode, and traded last week to get Matt Forte. So he got 18 points from him last week, Well done, Anthony. And then a bit of defence with it's the candy team. It's like giving candy to a baby. Last week played the Steelers defence with a last minute change from, I think it was the Giants he had in there the week before. They got 21 points, so nice defensive move there. As I say, slim pickings, but...
Yeah, a couple of nice moves, but I have to say, I quite like the Matt Forte trade. I mean, what is he? He's only just... There's a quote that he's only just turned 30, and he was talking about, I'm not dead or something along those lines, but I really like that move on the basis that Anthony's had a really, really strong season in that Dynasty League, and I don't think we've seen the last of Forte. I think maybe you got another year or so from him. But in terms of the win now mode, you know, he's got a bye. He only essentially needs to, you know, win two more matches to be crowned the inaugural champion of this this fine, upstanding league that we're hoping to build. So I really like that move. And the Bears, both these have been pretty solid this year. I think we've talked about, you know, and kudos to Fox, who has got a bit of a reputation for just kind of sorting teams out, but struggling to kind of get them over the finish line. But no, they've been relatively solid. Interesting to see what they do, with Cutler in the off season. really is.
So, but that's a good move by Anthony. So well done with that trade.
His speed will go up at least a kilometre per hour when he's out running tomorrow listening to this bad boy.
Excellent stuff. I'm sure he will listen. So we have the mistakes of week 13. Move the Sticks League, Rudders Niners. You're laughing because I pick on my brother every week for something.
Every week. No wonder he doesn't listen.
It's just because he moves at least three or four players every week in and out of lineup. So you make that many moves, you were going to get it right or wrong.
He's got Fantasy Live on speed dial.
So this week, his quarterback streaming went a little awry. Played Derek Carr against the Chiefs, 13 points, instead of playing Russell Wilson, who had 34 points.
Who did the...
They played against the Vikings.
There is some logic.
But the KC Chiefs.
No respect. The KC Chiefs, who are you?
Well, I'm just reading it off the screen here and I just see this Oakley KC, so it was there, KC, and then I finished.
Okay. You changed.
Rudders Niners, benching Wilson for Carr. In the same league, Carl and Scratch and Sniff.
That is correct.
Benched Doug Baldwin. You've got another couple of touchdowns and 21 points.
Dougie B's been killing it, hasn't he?
He has, but when you bench him for Reuben Randall, who scored 2 points, you lose your matchup. So, mistake there for Carl. Moving on to the Hall of Lame, myself. I waived Richard Rodgers ahead of his best game of the season. So that's quite funny. Ended up because I played Scott.
That was a Hail Mary. Hail Mary.
Yeah, seems so long ago now. But Rodgers there with 20 points.
That was a week last Thursday, wasn't it? Wow.
So in my defence, I played Chandler of the Patriots, who got a touchdown and 12 points. Not a bad return, but it's still not 20. Despite the fact I've been tinkering with Rodgers all season and finally gave up the ghost.
Been flirting with him.
And then we have a mistake by yourself.
What did I do wrong?
It's a minor one. But and
again, how could I lose? Before we carry on, how did I actually manage to lose 2 out of 3 leagues I'm in when I scored over 100 points in all of them? It's outrageous.
Well, the Honey Badgers scored 119 points. They lost to 153. But when you could have had 20 more points from your defence, So if you do the maths, it's still not quite a win, but
yeah.
I and played again,
the Bears, didn't I? Instead of
you
the
played
Eagles.
The Bears against Gabbert, 5 points versus the Eagles.
It's against Gabbert, for crying out loud.
Yeah, but didn't you know the Eagles were going to have a great special teams performance?
Against the Patriots? You can see the logic. How can you chastise me for that?
It's just that it's very slim picking. And so, the glaring points difference between the two people.
I'll give you that.
If you want to throw out my final nomination, it's just an honourable mention, really, but it's getting a bit tired that Matt and Lombardi Slapp played two injured Patriots, Edelman and Gronkowski, in his loss. But we can't keep giving it to
him. Yeah, and I don't think Tony's going to be particularly all over him this week.
Yeah, as he plays him.
Hey, Matt, yeah, do you want to play yet? No, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen.
So, recapping, Radisson and Wilson, Scratch and Sniff and Doug Baldwin, me waving Rogers, your defensive.
I'm going to say it's pretty tough, but probably Baldwin.
Yeah.
Because he's really beginning to click with Wilson, and I really can't chastise your brother's logic. I can't really chastise your logic. Because obviously playing Chandler, given the fact that he was going to be the number one tight end, my logic again was sound. I think Baldwin instead of Randall, it's the fact that he's played him over Randall would probably be the kicker. So that's Carl, isn't it? And they're starting to sniff.
So congratulations, Carl. There you go. You've won the I've Made a Huge Mistake Award. So that rounds off the awards and week 13.
Yeah, ironically, I think Carl's doing okay, isn't he?
Yes. We have 1 week to go there in the Move the Sticks League of the regular season. Carl are topping Division 2. Potentially, though, they're two teams just one game behind him. So it could come down to a real head-to-head tiebreaker situation if he can't win his last game.
Yeah, and Dambi, Stidiambo Lagers are looking pretty solid as they can get a win this week.
Well, if they win, the key is he's playing Brothers Niners. So,
he is. So is it win and then?
Well, if the Niners win, that'll be the head-to-head with the Lagers and thus should win as an 8-5.
Yeah, but then the playmakers
can still get to 8-5 as well.
And they've had a really good start to the week with Palmer and Johnson snagging 30. We've started saying snag a lot tonight. I've been snagging at 33 points.
So, very interesting. Very interesting. Final week there to look forward to. I'm going to miss out somehow.
How are you missing out? You're not missing out, are you?
I know. I'm not. But I feel like I'm going to have the fourth seed because Danby's
going
to win.
Yeah, I think honourable mention to yourself and the D-Train who were already locks, shoo-ins for this week.
Thank you very much.
D-Train again, done it again.
They got back on the tracks.
They did.
A little bit of a wobble there in the middle, but.
And Paddy's a Panthers fan as well, isn't he?
He is. Cam Newton leading.
Life for him must be just rosy and he's just skipping through the streets.
It's like he's on the Orient Express or something in first class.
Unbelievable. I'm going to have to speak to him. Maybe I'm going to go with a draft policy, only over 35 or something next year, and see how we get on.
Quick recap of Hall of Lame, still two games to go there though in the regular season, and the Unruly Moustache have got themselves a playoff spot for sure.
Seven on the bounce.
11-2.
Well done to Anthony for that.
And Magicians moving ahead in that tight Division 1 battle.
And you're locking head to head with James and Gronk if you're horny.
Yes, so, well, it's between us two and the Real Americans, America team, really, to try and get to that fourth spot.
Was that done for Hulk Hogan, do you think? I wonder.
I'm not really sure.
I'd like to know.
Speak to Dylan and find out. Because he's been with us since the start. It was only a Titans fan, which is quite a rare find.
like an emerald in the rough.
So, but sadly, the Mannings lost last week.
We did, and we did really, really well in terms of scoring as well.
We
did 117.88, and I didn't leave anything on the table.
Yeah, some days it just doesn't work out right with the matchups. I mean, you look at it, you have had the most points bar Forest Green scored against you, it looks. So that's why that division is struggling apart from
the other one, the Move the Sticks. I had those two losses by less than a point. I should have a 6-6 record in that. Honestly. Moving on.
Python Slippers.
Ah, now you've perked me up.
The Honey Badgers.
My old
topped the Pipe Division with an 8-5 record despite a loss last week. But a good goal difference, as they'd say in soccer ball. And has a bye this week.
Yes.
So how do you feel being on a bye?
A bit weird, like there's been times during the week when I've got really, really
I've set my lineup.
And it's like, no, I only need to do two, and then like 4 hours later I'll be, have I set my lineup? Have I done my pick-ems? No, I'm not doing that one. Just really genuinely paranoid. It was good. Get everyone fresh and healthy. That completely doesn't even make sense, but yeah, that's kind of what I've been thinking to myself. Get everyone fit and healthy. It's like, no, they're playing this week. Don't get injured. And
likewise for Anthony Down Under, winning the Slippers division, 10-3 record after that smashing of myself last week, 168 points. So he gets a week off after 6 win streak.
Is that Anthony in the potentially in the playoffs in all three? Or is he not the Move the Sticks?
In the Move the Sticks, he is. He'll be out now. Because Danby. Well, 2 games to go mathematically. He can still get to 8-7. I'm sure there's some weird logic.
Oh, no, he's Eskimo Bros, isn't he? Yeah. So he can get to 7-6, but I think he's probably going to.
In theory,
miss out.
In theory, you could.
Still win Division 2. I don't know what the head-to-head record is.
Yeah,
fair enough, he's done well. He's done
could
well.
Somehow pip Crusaders and scratch and sniff for a head-to-head. Take the division. So, Anthony has a week off. And the other playoff matchups have already started. We have myself playing James.
Solid start from the kicker.
Yes, Blair Walsh with 10. And Tony's X-Factors playing, as we mentioned earlier, Matt, who I'm sure he's not nudging his friend to set his lineup. The X-Factors going with Ryan Tannehill this week at quarterback.
Yes. He's got Osweiler, Luck and Griffin.
Struggled, really. It's been the weak link for his team, but he's got in with a 7-6 record.
Oh, and has Lombardi Slap done something? Because Mark Ingram isn't in the team there.
He probably wasn't in the team to start.
Yeah, true.
Let me just see if he has been busy. There are no lineup changes on the transactions.
There we go.
He hasn't been playing in for weeks, that's why. So he missed out on all those points.
My bad. And in the consolidatory one... I'm bringing Hasselbank had a decent start with Palmer and Fitzgerald, although Fitzgerald only had 4.1, but I tell you what, those stats lie because he had a cracking game.
Yeah, he's certainly having a bit of a renaissance and a rejuvenation there after a couple of down years.
How American did you say that? A rejuvenation?
Slowly but surely.
You are. Okay. Living on Eastern Time is having more of an effect than you care to imagine.
Okay. So that's where we are with those matchups. I think there's not really much more to say on this week's show.
No.
We obviously have the games kicking off tomorrow. This should drop later today, Saturday evening UK time.
Should we debate now what are we watching tomorrow?
Yeah, so we pick a game at the 1 o'clock Eastern time.
I'm not going to lie to you. I quite fancy watching Gabbert.
Gabbert versus Menzel. Well, I actually was quite keen on watching the Niners last week for some reason. One, because the Bears have been doing a little bit better. And two, almost wanting to see what the Niners have got. So now...
Although Buffalo, Philly would be an interesting one.
It would be interesting. I've almost got tired of Philly, but...
Yeah, yeah, I'm a bit like that. I watch them and it's like, oh, screen pass.
Mm.
Screen pass. Quick slant.
I want to worry about their defense against the way the Bills have been playing. I think Taylor has put up points against the Chiefs.
I think Watkins will have a monster day.
Yeah, they.
If you've got him in fantasy, lock him up.
So, I mean, a few weeks back, you'd have looked to the Falcons Panthers game. Well, 6 weeks back, you'd have looked to that as a good matchup. But
yeah.
And then.
You've also got the Pittsburgh Bengals game. Nola as well. Yeah. We'll probably end up watching Gabbert. Okay. To be fair, I want to see Gabbert. See how he played. So
there it is, sports fan. It's Blaine Gabbert versus the Cleveland Browns for us tomorrow.
This is not like the 10th time we've watched Cleveland this year. when will we learn? When will we learn? Right.
Should be a great evening of football tomorrow.
When we've got red zone on after 20 minutes.
Yeah, should be a good one. So, thanks for listening. As you obviously are aware, we're available on iTunes, Stitcher and Podomatic.com.
What are the Podomatic stats saying for this week? We done okay?
We've not been our best week. Last few weeks have been bumper.
Are you suggesting this? This is not necessarily our best work last week.
I think, like us, we've been busy. Maybe people haven't got around to it.
Maybe.
Drop on things like message boards and videos and stuff. So we.
Yeah, and I apologise for that as well. I during these playoffs, I'm going to attempt to make a comeback on the. Message boys, it's a little bit of fantasy, and obviously Christmas. Christmas is a joyous
time for giving.
Thank you. I was I couldn't quite articulate my thoughts. Shall we say?
It's a time to not work and sit around and indulge. No, time for giving. Right. excellent stuff. So. As always, we are at pipe_slippers on Twitter. I am at Stephen Rudkin. My esteemed colleague is at Roger M. Kirby.
Don't forget the M.
The all-important capital M in the middle. And we shall see you next time.
I've been sipping a tea.